All right, so this is Bible Truth 31, August, what? It's the 26th. And we're done with tissues, and we're going to have just a quick orientation lecture on integument so that you can kind of get focused for the practicum. Because I want you to look at the models, which I won't have in lecture on Monday for you. All right, so what is your integument? What's it made out of? Skin? So it's your skin and accessory structures. Oh, we got a nice list in your notes. The accessory structures are things like hair, nails. There's some glands, like sweat glands, sebaceous glands that secrete either sweat or oily materials onto our skin. And also, let's see, we said nails, hair. Oh, there's a little muscle as well, just a little bit of smooth muscle. That's right, that gives you goosebumps. Now, since it's smooth muscle, can you control when you get goosebumps or not?
No,
you can't control. You can't make them come or go. All right. Functions of the skin. To protect internal structures from two important kinds of bad things, and that is infections and dehydration. So your skin keeps you from turning into a potato chip, prevents you from dehydrating, but it also keeps bacteria out. So if somebody loses their skin, how could somebody lose their skin? Burns. What are the two main rapid causes of death? Infection and dehydration. Can happen in just a matter of hours if somebody has severe burns. All right, but your skin or your integument also regulates body temperature. For instance, when you start to exercise, your body temperature increases. What do? Noticeably, you start sweating. That cools you down. It also produces vitamin D. Sunlight is not purely harmful to you. A lot of times it is. You can get sunburned, but there is an important function of sun, and that in your skin, ultraviolet light can produce a form of vitamin D that can be converted into an active form later on by your liver, and vitamin D is necessary for you to absorb calcium from your diet, so that's real important. What do you need calcium for? Yes, everybody would say bones. There are many other more important functions for calcium in your body, which you'll learn about this semester. But bones is one of them. And then, of course, sensation is important. Your integument helps you communicate with your environment. You know what's out there, right? Like what? In what way? What have you felt on your skin? Temperature, that's right. Hot, cold, like if you pick up a hot pan, ice cube or whatever. And what else besides temperature? How about touch? Yeah, it could be deep touch. It could be vibration. Right, as a matter of fact, some people can read with their integument. How is that possible? Yeah, by reading Braille. There are touch receptors that are very sensitive, that are superficial in your integument, and there are also pain receptors in your integument. Don't want anybody to appreciate that sensation, but nonetheless, it's important because if you start damaging your body, you want to know about it so that you can remove your body from that damaging stimulus. So pain is a very important kind of stimulus, right? And that's all due to sensation. All right, the skin has got two main layers to it. There are sublayers that we're going to learn about, but there are two main layers. And the most superficial layer is the epidermis. The deeper layer is the dermis. Right? So the deep layer is the dermis. The layer on top is epi. Guess what epi means? On top of or superficial to the dermis. There's a third layer that we talk about in this point in the class. It's sort of important because it stores a lot of lipid for us, but it's not really part of the integument. It's called the hypodermis. Right? Hypo, guess what that means?
Underneath,
below the dermis. Right? So it's not part of the integument, but it's there, so we talk about it right now. Sometimes we call the skin the cutaneous membrane. And so subcutaneous means what? Below the skin, and that really is synonymous with hypodermis. So subcutaneous tissue, hypodermis is really the same. All right, so where do we find these structures at? Let's go to a slide. Is that close? That's not close. Ah, this is much better. Okay, so here's the skin. And we see the two main layers, namely the epidermis, which is superficial. So from here to here, that's epidermis. It is an epithelium. What's a characteristic of an epithelium? which is kind of strange. Okay, we see a nice basement membrane roll right by where the cursor is. But what's kind of a strange thing about epidermis? Actually, about an epithelium in general. You see any blood vessels in there?
No.
No, it's avascular. Okay, and you're probably all aware of that. Maybe you didn't really particularly study that. But did you ever pick up a piece of paper and get a paper cut? And it felt really bad? And you look and you go, oh man, that's going to bleed really bad. And you look and there's not even any blood. But it felt like you really hurt yourself. Why is that? Because there are nerve endings that go into the epidermis right here, but there are no blood vessels, right? So you can damage the epidermis, you can feel it, but it won't bleed as a result. Okay. The epidermis has a number of different layers that we're going to become familiar with in just a little bit. But the other important layer is the dermis. The dermis goes from the basement membrane of the epidermis all the way down to where we get into the hypodermis, and the hypodermis is characterized by all of this adipose tissue. And sometimes we call it superficial fascia. Okay, the dermis has got two layers. The superficial layer of the dermis is what we call the papillary layer. It's loose connective tissue, areolar connective tissue, and we call it the papillary layer because look at all these little projections right here. These are what we call dermal papillae that poke up into the epidermis. So we call this the papillary layer, and within a dermal papillae there is a vascular network. There are capillaries that nourish the epidermis. All right, so that's a highly vascular area. Deep to the papillary layer, maybe from about this region down to right over here, this is what we call the reticular layer. And it's kind of a misnomer because it's not reticular connective tissue. It's actually dense, irregular connective tissue. Can anybody remember what kind of fibers are in dense, irregular connective tissue? Okay. There's some elastic fibers in there, but in particular collagen fibers. So the reticular layer of the dermis is the toughest layer of the skin. It's tougher than the papillary layer because it's areolar. It's tougher than the epidermis because that's just an epithelium. It doesn't have collagen in it whatsoever. All right. As a matter of fact, we use from animals, the hides of animals, the skin of animals, this reticular layer right here. What do we use? What do we make out of that? That's leather, like shoes and things, because leather basically are just collagen fibers. It's really, really tough. So when somebody makes leather, they get rid of the epidermis. They get rid of the papillary layer right here because it's going to rot off, but the collagen will persist. All right, so those are the main layers. Let's look now at some of the sublayers of the epidermis. And this is a nice exam figure for you, right here. So here is the apical surface of the epidermis. Here's the basal surface. And then the basement membrane is right here. And what's going to be underneath the basement membrane of the epidermis? It's going to be the dermis, right? Okay. So what kind of epithelium is the epidermis? How many layers is it? It's stratified. Okay, what's the shape of the cells in this apical region right here? They're squamous, so it's a stratified squamous epithelium. These cells at the apical surface are dead a long time ago. Right? The cells down in the basal region are alive, they're living. And why is that? Because these are the ones that are closest to the blood vessels, the capillaries, in the subpapillary vascular plexus that nourishes these cells. And as a matter of fact, what could you tell me about this cell right here? You know it's alive because what's it doing? It's in metaphase. It's undergoing mitosis. So this layer, which is one, maybe two layers thick, is called the stratum germinativum. And what does it mean to germinate? If you take a seed and put it in a moist environment, it's going to start to grow, which is what we call germination. So germination just means a growing layer. So this is a living layer, and it's going through mitosis. This is a proliferative layer that grows, and when the cells divide, they start to move up toward the surface. These cells here are cuboidal or columnar, in shape, and as they move up, they become squamous. Right. So this layer, close to the basement membrane, is called the stratum basali, or the stratum germinativum. Both are kind of descriptive terms of this layer. As the cells get pushed up, they start to form connections with each other, forming desmosomes, and they start to deform and get kind of pointy or spiky. And so this next layer is what we call the stratum spinosum. Right? So cells start in the stratum basali, move up to the stratum spinosum, and as they're migrating, they're moving farther and farther away from the blood supply, and they slowly start to die. But before they die, they harden up. Okay? And they start to produce a protein called keratin. Keratin is a hard protein that gives the epidermis strength. That compound, okay, is not secreted into the extracellular space, because remember, there hardly is an extracellular space for an epithelium. It's contained within these cells right here. So keratin is intracellular. So don't mix up keratin and collagen. They kind of sound similar, but they end up in two different places, right? Collagen is extracellular in the matrix. Keratin is inside these cells right here. So sometimes these cells are called keratinocytes, because they're producing keratin inside the cell. They're not fibroblasts. All right. So they continue to move up. All right. And then they form these little granules inside them, which are keratin. And there's also a lipid compound that starts to be produced, which is works as a vapor barrier, a water barrier, so that you don't dehydrate. This layer right here is the stratum granulosum, because you can see those little granules in there. And then now they start to move up even further. They're so far away from the blood vessels, guess what happens to them? They die. And that is the dead cornified layer of the skin. We call that the stratum corneum. So those are the four main layers of the skin: the stratum basali, the stratum spinosum, stratum granulosum, and stratum corneum. Right? And they move from living to dead, just in that order, right, just like that. All right, so we can always see all those different layers when we look at skin. So we got keratinocytes that are producing keratin. We got other kinds of cells. What do we got? We've got some melanocytes. They produce another kind of chemical. And guess what that's called? And that's melanin. What the heck is melanin, and what's it doing in our skin right there? In the stratum basali. It produces a compound that we call a pigment. And pigments produce color. So pigments absorb some kinds of light, but not all kinds of light. So when there's sunlight shining, what are the different kinds of light that you have in sunlight? Yes, right? You've got a rainbow of colors. Like, for instance, what have you got? Okay, you've got red. Oh, that's nice. You've got orange. You got yellow, and you've got green, and blue. What else? Indigo, violet. All right? So these are the colors of the rainbow, just in that order. You don't have to know what color comes next to each other in the rainbow, but sunlight has all of these different colors. And what a pigment does is that it absorbs some of these colors and reflects others. Like your shirt to me looks yellow. Is it yellow or is it green? Is yellow good? Okay. So what does that mean? It has a yellow pigment. What does a yellow pigment do? It absorbs red and orange, green, blue, indigo, and violet, and it reflects that part of light that you can see with your naked eye. That's what a pigment is. Now what about melanin, this pigment right here? What color does it look like? It looks, it should be brown to black if you really look at somebody's skin. I don't know what color it is on the slide. Maybe you were telling me what color it is on the slide. All right. And it absorbs various kinds of colors from the sun, but in particular, another wavelength of light, which we call UV. We can't see that with our eyes, so we don't call it a color. But ultraviolet light is very damaging to skin. It can damage these chromosomes and turn this into a cancerous cell as a result. So the job of melanin, and you can see it flowing around, the processes from this melanocyte flow around other keratinocytes, and protect the DNA from ultraviolet light. So melanin, right, is a sunscreen that blocks out ultraviolet light. The more cells, the more melanocytes you have that produce more melanin, the darker your skin is. That's all there's to it. Which means what? You're more protected from sunlight. And if you don't have many melanocytes and much melanin that's being produced, how easy is it to damage your skin when you go outside? Very easy. Somebody that, you maybe if you're a redhead, blondes, don't have a lot of pigmentation in their skin, right, and not just for hair color, but just depends on what kind of skin you inherited, you can damage your skin very easily just by going outside maybe for a couple minutes during the summertime, right? And you need sunblock or hats or something like that, clothing to protect your skin. That's the job of these guys here. All right. This one, a Langerhans cell. This is an immunological cell. You could almost think of it as a white blood cell that is in the epidermis that protects your skin from infection. And then you have a Merkel cell right here. This is for very light touch. So people that can read Braille probably use these things a lot to feel the little bumps on a piece of paper. All right, so these are all the different kinds of cell types plus the different layers that you see in the epidermis. Okay, here we got keratinocytes. Very good. It's right there. Okay, but you know what? We've got a couple different kinds of skin on our bodies. On our hands, there's a different kind of skin than you have, say, on your forearm. You're probably aware of that. The skin on your forearm is a lot softer compared to the kind of skin that you have on the palms of your hands and on the soles of your feet. Places that undergo a lot of abrasion have a kind of skin called thick skin. And thick skin has one additional layer and a modification of the stratum corneum. So here is a nice micrograph, that's a picture that's in your book, that shows the dermis. So where does the dermis go? It starts here at the basement membrane of the epidermis and goes all the way down to here. So from here up to here is the epidermis. So what are the layers in thick skin? The layer right up against the basement membrane is the stratum basale. The next layer is the stratum spinosum. Okay, and then we see the granular layer, that's the stratum granulosum. That's pretty thin, but now look, I see another, like a white line moving right through here. That's the additional layer that's in thick skin. That's called the stratum lucidum. And those are cells, and then they move up into the stratum corneum, and look how big the stratum corneum is. And these are all the dead cells. Okay, so let's talk about these layers once again. The deepest layer is the stratum basale, then the stratum spinosum, and then granulosum, and then lucidum, and then stratum corneum. So look at that a bunch of times so that you get the right order correct on that. All right, so this is thick skin. All right, let's turn our attention to the dermis, which is what? From here all the way down to here. Notice that if we look in this papillary layer right here, I don't see any collagen fibers. But if we move down into the reticular layer, look what we see right here. Yeah, we see collagen, dense, irregular connective tissue. It's not dense regular, it's dense irregular. So these collagen fibers are projecting in all different kinds of directions. All right, so that's really what you got to know about the skin. And here is a picture in your book that compares thick skin with thin skin right over here. So here is dermis, right? Here's dermis, and I can see collagen fibers in here. The basement membrane, here is the stratum basale, then the stratum spinosum, and then the granulosum is right here, and then superficial to the granulosum is the stratum corneum. Notice there's no stratum lucidum in thin skin, and the stratum corneum is a lot thinner as a result of that. All right, so those are the pictures you got to know, but don't forget this one here, that's a really good exam figure because you get to see about all the different kinds of cells. All right, now what we'd like to have on the practicum is this model right here. So let's go over this model. Whoa. Might have to turn the lights on. I'm not sure. Let's see what we can do. Autofocus. Looking good. How's that? Can you see it? What's better? Number one or number two? Ah, number two just doesn't work at all. Okay, that's easy. Okay. All right. So, how many main layers are there in skin? One, two, three, four? Okay, in skin, there's only two. What are the two main layers? Epidermis and dermis. So where is epidermis? It's from here. All right, can you see my little pointer? Yeah, it's from here to here. That's the epidermis. And the dermis then goes from here, the basement membrane, down to here. And that's it. The third layer some people were thinking about is this layer right here, but that's really not part of the skin. That is just a hypodermis or subcutaneous tissue, and it's really not part of the integument. It just helps attach the integument to underlying structures. What kind of underlying structures does the hypodermis help attach the skin to? What else you got in there? Muscle? You got muscle and bone. Those are good examples. Muscle and bone. So it helps attach your skin to your muscles and bones. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the dermis. Since I don't have to, I'll zoom in just maybe a little bit. Whoa. Okay. Yeah, the dermis. All right, so these little bumps right here, these are the dermal papillae. All right, so a papillae is like a bump on something. Like a goose bump could actually be called a goose papillae, I suppose. I've never heard it called that. But here's a little papillae. It's in the dermis. So this layer right here is called it's named after these little bumps. This is the papillary layer. And as we go deeper down into the dermis, this is a layer that has collagen. I don't see it in the model, but this was what we call the reticular layer. Reticular just means it has a lot of branching fibers on it. It doesn't mean that it has reticular fibers. It has strong collagen. All right. Also in the dermis, right, we see that there is a hair follicle. And the part of the hair that's underneath the surface of the skin, we call that the hair root. The part that's sticking above the skin is called, this is called the shaft, the hair shaft. So here's the shaft of the hair, here is the root of the hair down over here, and this whole thing is the hair follicle. Attached to a hair follicle is this red strap-like thing. Guess what that is? That's a muscle. And the name is arrector pili. Here's an arrector pili muscle. It attaches to a hair follicle and up toward the papillary region of the dermis. And when it contracts, it shortens. And so what does it do? It takes a hair follicle that could be kind of lying down, and it pulls it up like that. It straightens it up so your hairs stick out. But what else does it do? It pulls the hair follicle up to the surface, so now it's forming a little dome of skin, which is a goose pimple when it contracts. All right, so that's how goosebumps form as a result of this arrector pili. All right, so these are some accessory structures: the muscle, the hair. I see other accessory structures in the skin. There are glands. Yeah, here is a gland right here. It's always associated with a hair follicle. This is what we call a sebaceous gland. And there's one over here. That's a sebaceous gland. It's associated with what? A hair follicle. And it secretes sebum, which is an oily material. It keeps you from dehydrating and keeps water from leaking out of your body. But it probably also helps fight infections to some degree. It's not an antibiotic, but it's just a bacteriostatic agent. It just prevents bacteria from getting into your body. We see some other kinds of glands. Like here's one, and here's one over here. So notice that they're different in size. They're also a little bit different in color. This is what we call an eccrine sweat gland. It produces sweat, right? Which does what? Cools you down. Okay, so it produces a salty, watery solution that goes to the surface of your skin all over the place. And this one right here, this big one, is located really pretty much in only two areas of your body. In your axilla, what's that? Your armpit and your inguinal region. Where's that? Yeah, your groin, right? And so this kind of gland is called an apocrine gland. It doesn't secrete water and salt. It secretes more of an organic solution. And if it's an organic solution, that means it has energy content to it. So bacteria can actually live in this solution that comes to the surface of your skin. And that secretion is not odoriferous by itself, but the bacteria that can live in it produce a little bit of odor, right? So those are those regions of your body have a tendency to be a little bit more odoriferous compared to regions that only have eccrine sweat glands, right? So eccrine versus apocrine. What else do we see in here? How about some sensory apparatuses? Okay, this one, that's deep. This is what we call a Pacinian corpuscle. That's for deep pressure, deep vibration, almost damaging to your skin, you'll be able to feel. There are some that are superficial. Can you see that one? Just barely? It's a little tiny, tiny Pacinian corpuscle. And this is for light pressure, light touch. So again, when somebody's reading Braille, these are the ones that they would use. This would be a Meissner's corpuscle. Right here, Meissner's corpuscle. You got Pacinian corpuscle, Meissner's corpuscle for light touch. What else do I want to say? I think that's pretty good, but I want to go over still the layers of the epidermis. So let's move back over here. Okay. Let's zoom. Can we focus? Yeah, pretty much. Hopefully that's okay. All right, so the deepest layer, am I on the screen? Barely over here. The deepest layer, can you see this single layer of cells right here? That is the stratum basale. And then from here up to here, that's the stratum spinosum. And then granulosum, it's kind of shiny, but I can see little dots in these cells. That's the stratum granulosum. And then the very most superficial layer is the stratum corneum, right? So you got stratum corneum, stratum granulosum, stratum spinosum, and stratum basale. And that's right, because there's no stratum lucidum here. This is thin skin. The other nice giveaway is that the stratum corneum is relatively thin. But on this model, guess what we have? Aha! Look at the stratum corneum here. Many, many layers thicker. So this is an example of thick skin. So let's go over the layers for thick skin. You got the stratum corneum, and then the clear layer, which is the stratum lucidum, and then the stratum granulosum, stratum spinosum, and then stratum basale. And just for fun, there's another name for the stratum basale that's called the stratum, starts with a G, germinativum, because it's the growing layer. It's a layer that's actually growing. Okay. These things right here, these are what we call dermal papillae, and groups of them can form these ridges, right, and valleys and thick skin. Now, where do you have thick skin again? Hands, right? Feet, fingertips, for instance. And all of these dermal papillae, what do they produce on the surface of your skin? Let's take a look. Ah, that's not bad. Look what it produces. All the fingerprints right there. Right, so the dermal papillae get projected to the surface of the skin, forming fingerprints, you know, on your feet and on your toes. You could probably even see some sweat glands in there. You see any little shiny dots every once in a while? That's just the orifice of one of these sweat glands that have come to the surface right there. Okay, so who's got a question on this? That was kind of it in a quick nutshell. Eccrine, apocrine, sebaceous, right? Arrector pili. The layers of the epidermis and then the papillary layer and reticular layer of the dermis. The hair shaft, the hair root, the hair follicle. All right, so this is a pretty good model for you to look at.
Are only in the
dermis? I'm sorry? Red blood cells. They're going to be in blood vessels. Okay, blood vessels are only in the dermis because the epidermis is an epithelium and we never have blood vessels in an epithelium. So before you guys go ahead and take a look at this model and see that you can find all the different layers of the epidermis and the dermis. All right, so we still have like 20 minutes in here. Whoa, it did what? So if you got a paper cut and it's bleeding, what do you know? It's gone all the way through the epidermis into the dermis. So it's a deeper than just a epidermal laceration. So I got to have a couple questions on the practicum on this model, because it's a cool model. You need a Band-Aid? You need a... You're good. All right. How about if we maybe take a quiz? Should I show you how to take a quiz?
Yeah.
Let's try that. Now, I didn't check to see how many of you completed the quiz or didn't complete the quiz, but I think some people gave me some emails saying, hey, it's not working. All right, so how can you tell what version of Internet Explorer you have? Just boot it up? Okay, hold on, you guys. I'm going to run out of voice. Click on Help, and then it says About Internet Explorer. Click on that, and look what we got. Ah, the dreaded version 8, which is the best version. Sorry, it's the best version, but if it's going to misbehave, I guess it would misbehave on this version here. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay. And so I just paged down from all the different weekly assignments. Hopefully you find some of this stuff helpful for you. Probably maybe the interactive exercise, all these exercises are really helpful. These figures are not exactly from your book, but they're really close. Some will be better than others throughout the class. If you have the media, if you bought a brand new textbook with the media edition, which was like almost $200, they have labeling in there, but I didn't require that as a part of the class because it's so expensive, right? So all of these sites that I'm redirecting you to just are free. They're just open access. So I was just trying to keep the cost down. But if you got that CD or access to the internet from your publisher, go ahead and use it. It's really helpful as well. And there's quizzes there too. All right, it just costs you to get there. Okay. All right, so here's the quiz. What does it say? Well, try to use Internet Explorer 7 or Firefox, all right? But we're using 8. So you click on this saying, yeah, I'm ready to go. I know the answers to all this stuff, all right? And then again, say, oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. So here's the question. Caudal is to superior as inferior is to fill in the blank. I don't know in HTML how to put a blank underline in there, all right? So here is. So what is what would be a good answer? Okay, caudal is, okay, I got to stop talking and think about this. Caudal is to superior as inferior is to cranial. Okay, so you click on that, and if you only get one question at a time. So you got to click to the next question. And I'm running Internet Explorer 8, and it seems to be working fine for me. All right, now how do you get to the next question? Okay, here is a little arrow that is impossible to see. That's the one you gotta click. I don't know why they make it hard to find. My impulse is to say save. But if you say save, guess what happens? It puts your information in the freezer. And not just your information, it puts your whole computer in the freezer, right? It will freeze up the program and then you can't go to the next question.
Mine didn't even have save. It had nothing. Like no little.
You had nothing either?
Oh,
you know what? I didn't log on as a student. So as an instructor, I don't get the timer. So I couldn't even check it out.
Yeah.
So the timer is in this area here.
It's
at the top somewhere?
Nothing.
All right. Okay, I'll try and log in as a student. And so how do you get to the next? And that, so I'll check it out in 8. So what do you do? To get to the next question, don't say save. Hit this little tiny, you really got to like put your reading glasses on. Hit that. And then it says, can't go back. I don't know if he hit enter. It does? Okay, I'm concerned about, I'll try it. I'll try it on the next question. Okay. And then it said, do you get the confirm button after you hit enter? So you don't get this confirmation window. I'm concerned if you don't get the confirmation window. You got to say yes. And then what? Then you get question number two.
Yeah.
All right, and so, okay, let me answer two. It might be the wrong answer, but now let me hit enter. Let's see what happens. Oh, I get the confirmation window. So maybe enter is good.
No.
Then you don't have to hit this little stupid arrow here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so then when you get to the end, when you get to the end, there's another button that's going to open up that says submit. And then you got to hit the submit button, and then it sends it into Blackboard. And it gets automatically graded. It doesn't tell you necessarily what your right answers are.
I know.
But it gives you your score.
When do you tell us the right answer?
Whenever you ask. You'll have to ask.
Okay.
But you know what? These questions on this quiz came directly from
the practice
quiz is right here. So you got all the answers already. You got every single answer right there. It should correct them for you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah? Oh, that's nice.
Do you do those quizzes?
Yeah. Oh, the online practice quizzes? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The other thing you can do with the practice quizzes, you can copy it and paste it into a Microsoft Word document if you want a hard copy of them. Okay, you can do that. But it's a huge file because it's HTML. All right, so when you're taking the quiz, use a little arrow here. I'm still a little shaky with the enter, but some people seem to be really happy with the enter button. That's how you would take the quiz. All right, so I'll give you until maybe this weekend. If you have problems with that, let me know. I'll reset your quiz. And just practice with the quiz, because from here on out, every week you get a quiz, and you got to know how to mouse around in there. Okay? Yeah. But I'm going to double check to see if it hung up. I can tell when it hung up. If you didn't answer all the questions, I know it hung up. If it hung up on the first question, what do I know? You hit the save button by accident instead of the little stupid arrow. Okay? And so hitting the save button does what? It freezes the program. Yours didn't freeze?
I did.
Okay.
And I realized I wasn't supposed to do it, and it still said I completed
it. I tell you what, you know, I'm going to log in as a, how do I mute? Picture mute? Did that mute? No, that's PC mute. I want to log in as a student. Okay. Ah. Oh, but now I can't see what the computer is. Adjusting image quality. Oh, I didn't hit it hard enough. Okay, I'm going to log in as a student. Can you see what I'm doing?
No.
Ah, good. Won't let me. I can do it again. Oh, I forgot my password. Shit. I changed it so that other people could get in there and take a quick look at something. I forgot what I changed it to. That's not it. Okay, I can change it to something. What should I change my password to? Okay. All right, so I'm in as a student, and where's our class?
231.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of 231s. Ah, 14380. So don't forget, if you ever email me, make sure that your CRN is in there so I know what class you're taking, because you can say I'm teaching a lot of classes. Weekly assignments. All right, so I enabled the quiz. So it should still show up now. Earlier today it wouldn't even show up, but it's showing up now. Okay. Error. Oh, you know what? Because I took it already as a quiz. So since I took it already. Oh, good Lord. Huh? Oh, yeah. On the way out, just sign the sign-in sheet. You know, if you got to take off, here's your sign-in sheet for a roll call. And I'll keep messing with this. So later tonight, if you got to retake the quiz, I'll zero your results. It's not gonna matter your grade. If you progressed all the way through it, I don't want to reset it. So give me a little note if you bombed. If your quiz froze, just say quiz froze, and then I'll double check. Yeah.
I noticed they didn't have the action plan. They only have the Ekron one.
Yeah, that might be so, true.
Okay, so are we going to, since that's what we have at home to go off of.
Yeah, but I have that in class.
Okay. It's just what it, well,
it's in your lab manual.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to send you a link where there's an interactive exercise where you can click and the name will come up. So there's a lead line, or there's a little dot. And I don't have it. Yeah, there'll be some things that you can practice online with that particular model.
Because I just want to make sure that I'm able to see what you're wanting us to see
yeah.
for the test.
Yeah.
My main
okay. Thing. That's in the lab manual.
Oh.
All the things are listed in the lab manual.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Hi.
To reset our quiz, until when are you sending it?
Until the weekend. You can take it until the weekend.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple of days.
Okay.
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 I tell you, if you got time before you go, you can come on over and I'll maybe reset it right now. All right, so I'm going to reset mine. Sammy, what's happening?
Package, so
oh, like what? Oh, it's not in there?
That's why when you said it.
Oh, wait a second. I thought I put it in there.
Yeah, it goes from this one, right? Which is
check in the back. Check one? In the back, because I know I updated it.
Oh, it's in the back. And no, it goes to the thick skin, which is.
Oh, damn! I thought I upgraded it.
Maybe I got the wrong package.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, hold on. What figure number is it?
5-3.
Okay, I've got it here listed, but it's not in the. You don't have the figure.
Yeah.
Well, you were looking at it, in the back.
Yeah, the back goes to the.
It's not there.
So I know. I didn't use it.
No. Okay. For some reason. is not in there. I got to get it to you guys.
Yeah.
And I'll have to mention that to everybody.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
5'3".
I'll just zero off it.
Yeah. I'll get a JPEG to via email. Grade details. Last attempt. Clear attempts. All right, now I can take the quiz again.
Oh, you're going to take it under the internet.
I'm going to try 8, unless we have to get out of here because we have a class coming. But while I'm here, okay, now I don't know anybody's name yet in class.
Okay,
so you got to tell me.
Anna Martinez.
Okay.
And then Andrea Gomez as well.
Oh, yeah. Anna Martinez. Wow, okay. You didn't get any points whatsoever.
Does it tell you the time, too?
Probably if I take a look.
Oh, okay, because it was like 2 seconds.
8, 29, and 12 seconds, and it was submitted exactly when it opened up, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, and so it's really confused, so I'm going to clear attempt.
All right, Dr. Gomez, see you Monday.
Okay, have a nice weekend. Yeah. All right, so you should be able to go. Let's just take a quick look here. Martinez. Yeah, nothing here. And I enabled the quiz, and Andrea, did you say?
Yes, Andrea. Gomez.
Yeah. Okay, let me just take a quick look and see. Oh, here's somebody that had a problem. While I'm here. Yeah. How many did he get right? 8. That's not bad. Now I have to say grade. Where do we say grade? Few attempt. Yeah, he did pretty good. Just maybe ran out of time. No, I just got a couple wrong. Okay, then I say submit, and then that enters it into the grade book. Okay. All right, so let's see if I can make him misbehave. I just have to log in as a student. Okay, here we are. And if everything I said is true, you can go to week 1, chapter 1, and the 6th page is there, which is the quiz. And if I say sure, I'm ready to go. And say, okay, there's a glitch. I have to figure out why. There's maybe some, so give me a couple hours. Give me a couple.
No, that's fine. So
yeah.
Basically, just don't use.
Yeah. Try not to do that.
We'll go on Firefox.
Yeah, and you know, just go into Google and say Firefox.
Yeah.
It should be a free download. Yeah.
Okay.
So 3.5 looks good.
Sounds good.
Okay, sorry for the trouble.
Oh, no, that's
but we'll get through it.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. Well, this is the hybrid class, so there's just a lot of people figuring out how to mouse around within Blackboard and take quizzes and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Twice a week. Once is one lecture and then one lab, but not two lectures. So that's kind of how it shakes down. So I'll leave this on for you, just like this. Okay. Okay. I'll leave you. Right.